Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. All right, good morning everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you pre-recorded from North Carolina, and I'm pre-recording this because today I will be starting my trek to Shreveport-Bossier, and with the baby we need some extra time, so I'll record this. We'll not have an episode Friday, but wanted to get this out, as Wednesday we went through giving some updates on the Ukraine issue and pro-life issues in the midterms and how things seem to be leading up towards the midterms. I wanted to take time to focus on this issue that the president has spoken about on Tuesday. We mentioned it on Monday about how he would make comments about the economy, but I really want to lay out some of the things he said, but then also some reports that came out early Wednesday that show a little bit different story and go in line with what the prophetic has been telling us, Chris Reed, ourselves, going back to 2019, 2018, Chuck Pierce, Bill Hammond, Rick Joyner, just a bunch of people who we're seeing in line, and the fruits of their dreams and prophecies are playing out literally before our very eyes. And why we here as a church and intercessors have an opportunity to not only be prepared for what's coming, but also to find strength and put our hope and trust in the Lord through this season and moving forward, as we should, as our treasure should not, where your treasure is, your heart will be also, and not putting our treasures here on earth, but putting them into the kingdom of heaven, despite what seems to be going on in the world right now. Now, I do want to continue on our prayer study of the midnight hour, middle of the night hour, depending on how scripture lays it out. And those are really the two references that it points out throughout the Old and New Testament. And today we're going to continue our study in Ruth chapter 3, verse 8. And this is a story of Ruth and her journey of finding her kinsman redeemer. But we're going to title this one, How the Lord is Our Redeemer, and how we can look at this principle that is applied here of how Ruth and Naomi really went through this journey and really trusting the Lord to be their redeemer. Yes, they found their Boaz as their natural redeemer, but in reality is the Lord led them down that path. So I want to just bring up this one verse in Ruth chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, "And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at her feet." And especially if we're in the charismatic, prophetic movement, Baptist movement, we've all heard this Ruth Boaz story. But in the middle of the night is what I want to point out, is as we're seeing, we saw yesterday with Samson, in the middle of the night, at midnight, he was awakened. The Lord can awaken us, and it's time to, you know, give thanks to the Lord. He can be our redeemer. He could get us out of the situations to deal with whatever stresses, anxieties, and things may be coming our way. And Chuck points out here as the prayer point for this, for ourselves, through this story as we go on to see in the rest of Ruth, or finding that Redeemer through Boaz, we're seeing that, let me go back, is that we see the Lord, let me make sure I have it pulled up correctly. Okay, anyways, But the point is, I'll have to put it up here. It is what we want to do is submit ourselves to the Lord and watch our enemies flee and watch our Redeemer rise up on our behalf. And that's the prayer point. Submit ourselves to the Lord and watch your enemies flee and watch your Redeemer rise up on your behalf. And through this economic situation of increasing inflation, fixed incomes being devalued because of higher inflation, cost of things rising, is that the Lord can still provide a way through this. Is where is our trust? Where is our hope? And as people, as we're called to be the light, we're called to be his ambassadors for his kingdom. Is what better way that even through all of this, the Lord can provide a way? Does it mean, you know, maybe in some instances we have to give up some of the, you know, the extracurricular things that we have, maybe, possibly. But at the end of the day, is where is our hope? Are we letting the world stress us out, or with the stock market and economy going up and down all over the place and the rumor of this, the rumor of that happening? Or are we putting our trust and hope in the Lord and letting him provide for all our needs through this season? So I lay that out there as a baseline for what we're about to talk about, because as we're seeing the economic statistics, the comments by this politician, that politician, and more specifically us here, intercessors for the president himself, saying things that just are extremely politically motivated and not leading this nation towards policies that actually benefit the everyday consumer here in America and really abroad, as we are a lighthouse to the nation. So with that, I want to go ahead and dive into some of the comments made by the president. This is what I really want to focus on today. This will be the main focus of today's podcast. We're seeing the president himself bungle through his speech. And it's sad to say that what he is saying, not only is it being gaffed because of his lack of mental capacity, best way to put it, but it doesn't make any sound reason or logic. Even Janet Yellen, Jerome Powell, anybody, even Obama's economic advisors are disagreeing with him on this stuff. And that is the most astonishing thing. And President Biden unfortunately said the number one threat is the strength, and that strength that we've built is inflation. So he's seeing this is sad. He's seeing inflation as a good thing. Now, the reason I want to point this out is because there's comments from Jerome Powell about we have a strong economy. And President Biden goes back to he said something about how he can taste. And I think he meant to say he can sense the pain everyday consumers are feeling on the cost of inflation, and now you're starting to hear about, which as unfortunately as a parent who needs formula to feed our baby, is the lack of supply on formula, the formula shortages, and that's unfortunately because one of the brands, Similac, had a recall a couple weeks back. And it really hurt them. And now parents are staying away from Similac. And then they had like another recall and all this stuff. And so there's a supply shortage on baby formula. And it's a new thing coming up in all this situation. But again, the president himself said, I'm taking inflation very seriously. It's my top domestic priority. And I'm here today to talk about solutions. And this is what I want to point out, his quote unquote solutions. And there's going to be more we're going to have to talk about as well. But first, I want to be crystal clear about the problem. There are two leading causes to inflation we're seeing today. This is what he said. The first cause of inflation is, since there was a once in a century pandemic, not only did it shut down our global economy, which was only shut down by the decisions of politicians, it threw the supply chains and demand completely out of whack because of the policy decisions made by politicians and himself, who continued those same disastrous policies, especially in countries where more effective recovery responses weren't available, especially in those sectors that rely on semiconductors. I didn't know that food and shipping and hiring practices dealt with semiconductors. That has nothing to do with semiconductors, whether somebody can go to work or not because of a virus or mask or whatever the case may be, because the government tried to overreach and put totalitarian policies into place. That's not semiconductors. That's not, oh, it just happened. Oh, well, darn. Snap. And going on to say, he talks about how these supply chains have been further hampered by the onset of Delta and Omicron variant, and we've all seen it. We've all felt it. Yes, because of policy decisions made by this and the past administration. Then he goes on to put another blame on the Russia-Ukraine issue, talking about skyrocketing gas prices, which again deals with decisions made by the current and former administration. Which those issues don't help. The pandemic doesn't help, but the decisions of stimulus from this administration, the last administration, lower inflation, I mean lower interest rates, which have caused a problem and been part of the problem, which is why you're seeing inflation rise to the point that it is now. There's a good article from the New York Post that talks about how Biden isn't fooling anybody. Everybody understands what's going on and really is pushing the decision. He ultimately blames Republicans as well. Well, they're just not letting us do what we want to do, i.e. the Green New Deal, the Bernie Sanders agenda, quote-unquote renewable energy, which there's a massive debate about whether that's actually reliable or not. And so we're seeing the response from this administration. Not only are you seeing him fumble all the way through, but ignore reality. And a lot of the analysis was that they want to get ahead of the Wednesday inflation reports because they felt like it was going to be really, really bad. And they wanted to have a response already in play. But you kind of can't give a response if you don't know what the answer, what the reality is actually going to be. Which brings me to my point of looking at, okay, what are the April inflation numbers for the United States actually like? And what's interesting is the Wall Street Journal did a great report on this, as they usually do on the economic issues, of saying that inflation eased in April to 8.3%. And this is usual in the spring. People start, because you have to look back at towards last year's numbers as well. People start producing more, going back to work, spending less, you gear up towards summer. So a lot of it has to do, you have to look back last year and this year. So a lot of things have eased. And then also you have to look at the temporary hold on oil and gas prices during the month of April before Europe started to announce the fact that they're going to start cutting off Russian oil. So there's a lot of things that have to play in here. And what I want to point out is, and this is where we need to be wise and sober about the times and seasons that we are in. And a lot of this has to do with the reason inflation didn't increase to go higher was because of stalled energy prices around $100 for crude oil, a barrel of oil. What we're seeing, that what the Labor Department pointed out, is 8.3 annual percent. Now, we have to wait till next month to actually see the adjusted numbers to see if this 8.3 holds up. Is it going to bounce back up to 8.5, 8.6, 8.7, 8.8? It possibly could. This is just an initial number, so don't get like, oh, wow, this is really where and they're trying to make – this is – again, they tried to push this off as not a big deal. This inflation is actually a strength, which is just mind-boggling to even consider. But I want to point this out. Jerome Powell has said this. Biden has backed this up. High inflation, this is from the from Wall Street Journal, high inflation is a downside of a strong growth. No, that is not. If you have a strong growth economy, you usually don't have high inflation. You have the opposite. You have what would be called deflation. As technologies advance, make life easier, lower the cost of doing such a thing. And look back towards the Industrial Revolution when you had all these technologies come out. Yeah, some things were a little bit more expensive, but eventually they got cheaper. You had more technologies advancing, coming faster, making things cheaper to do, They can get better, easier, more efficient. And you're not seeing that happen in this scenario with inflation. And then the next thing they point out, which is even more revealing and astonishing. And the reason I point this out is because, as Chris Reed, others have pointed out, the potential downfall in the economy, and this is why, this is the natural revealing the spiritual, is that the high growth, or strong growth that they're calling it, the rising stock market, is fueled in part by low interest rates, i.e. the Fed keeping interest rates monetarily low for literally no reason whatsoever, and government stimulus to counter the pandemic's impact. And if you remember back to earlier this week, I asked the question of, why are people spending money? Or more so, how are they spending money? Are they using credit cards? Are they using debt? Are they using government stimulus? They're not using it because they have extra income to be able to spend once all their needs are met. It's and that it'll be sustainable. When you're using debt, it's not sustainable. It's for a short period of time because you eventually have to pay that debt back, which is why the housing market in 2007, 2008 crashed, because people eventually couldn't meet the payments they had on their houses, the rental homes, whatever the case may be, because banks were just throwing money at anybody and everybody, because they could make a payment for a short period of time. And then when they had, because they had adjusted rates increased, because that's what happens in an adjustable rate, unfortunately, they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, and weren't able to pay the actual downside, the full side of it, and possibly running. But my point is this: when your economy is fueled by low interest rates and government stimulus, that's not sustainable, because eventually rates are going to rise. People are going to have to learn how to be disciplined with money. And then when you're getting money from the government as your reason of why you're buying something, that money will always eventually run out. And then what happens? And I point this out because this is not the first year that this has ever happened. This goes back to even 2007, 2008, when we came out of that crisis. Interest rates were low because they wanted to keep the economy supposedly spending, going, rather than doing what Florida Governor Ron DeSantis did of saying, hey, we're going to give tax holidays on these issues, on these specific categories, and say, hey, for the next couple of years, because the Biden administration is doing this, causing this to rise, we're going to offset that and help you. Those are policies to advocate for. And so, point this out. We're seeing the underlying issue here of the overall economy is a facade. Wait till May's inflation numbers come out where prices are going to increase. And you say, well, Zach, how do you know that? I say that because we talked about it earlier this week about gas prices climbing. And then literally yesterday, I want to point this out. Literally yesterday, or Tuesday, in certain places, gas prices jumped 25 cents. Oh, well, Zach, it's just 25 cents. That doesn't add up. Yeah, well, when you have a 20-gallon car, truck, diesel, whatever you're paying at, and you went from $4 a gallon to $4.25, yeah, that's going to add up. Over time, months, days, especially if you're on the road. And overall, the AAA reported that fuel has reached their highest average price for Tuesday morning, where an average regular gallon of gas, again, this is regular, $4.37, up 5 cents from Monday, and $5.55 for diesel, up 1 cent from Monday. In the 10 largest weekly increases, AAA reported, Michigan, 26 cents. New Jersey, 25 cents. Okay, so it's a week, not a day. Connecticut, 19 cents. Kentucky, 19 cents. Indiana, 19 cents. In a week. Yeah, this weekend I was talking about how I saw around $4 in the Raleigh region. Yesterday I went out and I saw $4.19, $4.31. And this is not even in the higher end places that I've know where gas is higher. This is in some of the lower places where gas is higher in my region. In California, it's $5.82, $5.28. The reason I point this out is to forewarn us to be prepared, be wise, be diligent, The redemptive part is that the Lord has warned us about this, and so we need to take that into account for the coming months. If the Lord has blessed you and has given you an ability to make an income of more than before, and you have the ability and God's put it on your heart, look, think about possibly giving to a food bank. Think about possibly, you know, doing something, looking at your neighbor, the widow, the orphan around you who might need help in this season. We're starting to do that as a family here in this region and starting to learn as single parent homes, the widows, the orphans, etc. And the need is growing ever increasingly, which is why people are leaving certain states, but I'm not going to get into that. And I want to end on this last point that the president kept making, is they're banking on the fact that the plan from the quote-unquote tax plan being put forward by the Republicans that Senator Rick Scott from Florida put out of quote-unquote making every American pay their fair share in taxes, which Democrats have been saying for years, and all of a sudden they don't want to do it, which is utterly surprising. They're attacking because it'll hurt Americans, which ultimately what it'll do is it'll force them to get off of welfare programs. Is the fact that he's saying, well, Republicans want this. Well, somebody at Fox, a Fox correspondent, Alexander Hoff, challenged Jen Psaki yesterday before she left in asking of what Republicans back him. And they couldn't say anybody. Well, the RNC chair come out and said she agreed with this, but McConnell and no Republicans have really stood behind her, Senator Rick Scott's plan. The only person, again, is that GOP Chairman Ronald McDonald had praised Scott's plan, and no other Republican had offered an alternative. And I pointed out, this is going to be a challenge, is because that's the only plan that you have out there. That's what Democrats are going to hammer you on. And so this deals with another issue of, there needs to be a plan from both sides to sit down and have an argument. And Senator Rick Scott actually challenged President Biden on this issue and said, hey, let's sit down and have a conversation about this. Let's go through the weeds on this. Let's look at the details of what's actually happening here to really deal with this argument of understanding what's causing inflation, what can we do about it. And rather than just sitting there and attacking MAGA and the ultra MAGA people, which is what the Biden administration is doing, which if you remember his campaign and when he first came in office is, I'm going to unite the country, not divide the country. And that's the very opposite of what's happening right now. So again, I say these things so that we're aware and sober about what's coming down the road naturally. And Rick Joyner and Chris Reed have put out a prophetic perspective this week, I believe, about how to prepare, what to do, talking about buy an extra can of food here and there, waters here and there. Obviously, don't be greedy, but think about 1 to 2 months response is what you should always have. And if you don't have it, don't just buy mass. Obviously, you don't want to put yourself in a bad financial strain. But, you know, here and there, buy a can or two extra. You know, maybe you don't need it, but somebody else will eventually. Maybe they're not preparing, but you are. And the Lord can use you, as he did with Joseph, to help provide for other people. And in reality, the reason how we want to focus here for the president praying is we talked about this a couple weeks ago. And I want to hit it today, is that our leaders need to start understanding, and not just the elected leaders, it's the leaders underneath them, current and future issues that may arise. And we want to pray for current and future leaders to arise who have the fear of the Lord, understand the